This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we've had what? It was a month and a half? Almost 2 months off now?
Well, it's hard to believe that the draft comes that fast, but, you know, we sit around, let the OTAs, mini camp, and then it's get going for training camp. And then, of course, Chris, we have week zero coming up in August. Kansas State, Kansas will play, and then it's time to look at the prospects and who they're playing.
Yeah, we are. It's funny. It's like
another draft season.
Nowadays, the college football season doesn't really end because right now they're really hardcore on the recruiting trail right now. Like I know my Florida Gators have had like what is it, 10 commits, 11 commits this month alone. So things are starting to get real busy on the recruiting trail. You're starting to see a lot of these schools stack up talent, and you know, obviously that means that we're going to start seeing the next class of players come in. But a lot of those teams already have their guys on their roster that are going to be starting for them this year. And we're about to, I think in a month, we're going to be talking about them being in camp and getting ready for the 25 season.
Yeah, and next week will be the 30th on Monday. So I was going to say, because then you say, hey, we have college football next month, which we have after next week's episode, we'll just one more day, and then it's the next month.
Yeah, and then we will be looking at them starting to stack out their rosters and we're going to start to see some of these these roster shape up for the 25 season. A little bit of news came out today. The Chiefs will be reporting for training camp on Monday, July 21st. All of the players on the team are going to be reporting. It's not going to be quarterbacks and rookies and special teamers and then the rest of the roster. It's going to be the entire roster.
Which is less than a month.
July 21st.
It's less than a month.
Less than a month
from when this is released. Here's the thing. I was curious about that. I was doing Coding Gold last week and brought Matt McMullen in, the Chiefs reporter, in to talk about minicamp and everything.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that because I was going to ask him. I said, why is Andy Reid not having the rookies show up before the players that have been here, because usually they do, because the quarterbacks and receivers are usually 3 days ahead of time.
Right.
And then Andy Reid explained it in the in his press conference. He says, we've had the rookies here. We've had extra time with them and stuff like that. So it's go time when they get to St. Joe. So definitely departure from the norm.
Yeah, definitely. I think most teams still do the quarterbacks, rookie, special teamers report first.
It's like pitchers and catchers report.
Yeah, and then like a couple days later or so, the rest of the team reports. The Chiefs are changing the format this year. Makes sense. I think they kind of want to get those guys acclimated to how they perform during the regular season throughout camp. as opposed to kind of give them a grace period before. And then practices are going to start on July 22nd, the next day after they report. So they're gonna get after it really quickly. And, you know, certainly there's going to be, I think, a lot of hunger in that roster overall. And these rookies coming in, they're not going to have it easy at all.
No, they're not. But at least they got here, got their feet wet. It's going to be interesting. I mean, making this team's hard, man. It's not easy to do. It's, you know, this roster is pretty much set, you know, except for the draft picks. But, you know, they're going to be making this team from this year's draft class. So that they expect to contribute. And you look at this draft class, I see maybe a starter or two out of this class. I think it's going to be a lot of role players. But that's kind of what the Chiefs do. It's a series of rotations.
I kind of feel, are you talking about just for this year?
For this year's draft class.
Yeah. So I'm talking about for the 25 season.
For the 25 draft class. Yeah, I was thinking.
No, I'm not talking about the draft class. I'm talking about for the season for this
class. Just a couple guys that I think have a really good chance to start from this draft class.
Okay, I just want to clarify that.
I mean, they're going to beat people out. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Noel Williams from the Cal cornerback's one of those guys. But there's, you know, Jalen Watson, and they bring in Christian Fulton from the Chargers this year. There's going to be competition, so he's going to have to earn his way on the team for sure. We don't know about Simmons, and we'll get to him in a little bit, but we're not 100% sure of his health.
Yeah, we don't know his health. They did say last week, they did confirm he is going to be a full participant in camp. There's not going to be any limitations to him. Him and who was the other one that they said was going to be full participant?
Rashee Rice,
yeah.
And he said Jared Wiley, too.
Yeah. Jared Wiley, okay. Yeah, I hadn't seen that they confirmed Jared Wiley. Okay.
Last year's tight end pick.
Yeah, Jared Wiley, fourth round pick in 24 at a TCU. So, good. That's good. That was actually the one I didn't see was Jared Wiley, him being confirmed for full participation in training camp. So obviously I want to start with the biggest question going into the 2025 training camp for the Chiefs, which is the left tackle situation. I think it's the biggest point of concern for most fans when we look at what the offense is going to be during the coming season. And really, I think the biggest question right now is what is the best situation for the Chiefs? Because I think the best situation for the Chiefs is we see a lot of Josh Simmons in camp. He gets some reps with the ones and definitely shows that he is capable of playing, because I think that's the biggest concern I have. More so than if he's going to be the starter this year is, can he play? Like, is he good enough to play? That's my biggest concern. If he shows that he can play, if he's able to play in some preseason games and show that his knee is good, I'm happy. And then if we can get at least some decent play from Jalen Moore, enough to where, like, we kind of feel a little bit of confidence about that left tackle spot, then I think that's really great for what the Chiefs are looking for. And then in camp, you see enough from Jalen Moore that gives you some confidence, and we see some growth from Josh Simmons, so that if at any point during the season, or ideally, I think, next season, they can move Jalen Moore out of that left tackle spot, they can put Josh Simmons in that left tackle spot, and then you have Jalen Moore in that swing tackle position, or he maybe ends up even replacing Juwan Taylor at right tackle in the 26th season, who I think Juwan Taylor's playing his last season with the Chiefs. What do you think is the best situation?
No, I agree with you on that. But you heard like reports from NFL Network and stuff like that when they talked about the Chiefs and Simmons. I even heard the word swing tackle thrown around until he's ready. So I think that's a little – I don't see Josh Simmons as a swing tackle whatsoever
with this team.
Drew Nixon asked me a pretty good question when it came to Jalen Moore. Said, well, if Jalen Moore – has to, you know, not start. Josh Simmons is a starter at that point. What's his versatility? And I told him, I said, he's actually a very versatile dude. I mean, Jalen Moore, I know he's a tackle. He's a left tackle. It's what he is. But he can play the right side. He's done that before, too.
Right.
But when he went to Western Michigan, he went as a tight end. Like, he was recruited as a tight end. That shows his athletic ability, that he was able to do that. Obviously, can move around a little bit. If he was a tight end that went to a Division I school, you know, he could move. Then when he got there, they moved him to the defensive end. So he played on that, and then, boom, you're a tackle, and they moved the other side. So that, to me, shows that it's a guy that can play in a lot of different areas. Not saying that's what's going to happen, because I still think, right now, going through to it, I wouldn't be shocked if he's out there in the first day of camp as the left tackle. I know that Simmons has been doing the right things, been going to practice, and that's good. Obviously, the patellar knee injury is a tough deal. NFL teams aren't really getting used to putting guys back out there. It's a tough injury to go through. And we know the lifting's been limited with him and stuff like that, the things that he can do. But you hear good things about it from camp. Obviously, Andy Reid's a former offensive line coach, so you know he's going to get some good tutelage from there. And I also heard that Mitch Schwartz, which is, I'm glad they're going that route because we saw
former,
the value.
Former all-pro right tackle for the Chiefs.
Which all-pro NFL tackle, being able to, you know, talk to you, give you advice, tell you what to look for and look at. That stuff's great. Like, if you heed to the, you know, that advice, that is great news for him to have Mitch Schwartz. I'm glad they're doing it because Tomba's worked with Karloftis, you know, jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. It's great
judo.
To see these former Chiefs.
Yeah, a lot of judo stuff, too.
Yeah, it's great to see these former Chiefs doing it. So, I mean, Andy Reid said, yeah, I expect full go, but then there was that caveat, though, in his press conference where he said, well, you know, things get different. You get up there and you put the pads on because right now, you know, they haven't done full contact. They haven't had him out in pads. So it's one thing if you could go out there, and it's another when you're sitting there at left tackle protecting a three-time Super Bowl MVP, trying to get acclimated line and dealing with NFL press rushers, you know, with pads on trying to make the team. Like, it's a totally different situation than, you know, being out like he has. He's been out since that Oregon game last year in the college football season. Wasn't in that stretch with Ohio State through the playoffs in the championship game. So it's going to take a while. But the good news is it's a first-round pick, so you get the fifth-year option. So, again, I don't want to see it hurried or pushed. Like, we know the Chiefs need a left tackle. They know they need a left tackle. That's why they took it. I mean, this could be a draft coup if he works out. I'd like to see it first, you know, see him work out and see if the injury, because just say, oh, we're fine, Andy Reid's going 100% go for him. I'm not buying that yet until he gets there, put the pads on, deal with the speed rushers and everything else. But if it works out, and again, no rush. Take your time with it when he's ready and then move that direction. Because you have, in case of emergency, break glass, you brought in Jalen Moore, who's going to be out there trying to make some money himself. So it's a kind of a good move for the Chiefs.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me about the Chiefs' strategy is I hope they don't do what they did a year ago, or a little bit less than a year ago now, which was as soon as they put the pads on, they rushed Kingsley Suamataia into that left tackle spot. And I think we both were like, we were trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I do think there was some concern there. And
you know, it was Wanye through the OTAs, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it looked like it was Wanye's job. And then the minute they put on the pads, it was immediately Kingsley's job. And it was confusing because it was like, look, man, I know Wanye is not like their ideal guy because the mobility isn't great for him. He's got the length they really love, but doesn't have quite the mobility that they're looking for. But to me, it was just like, you know, we both know how they are with a lot of these guys. They don't want to rush rookies into prominent roles. That's just not who they are as a team because they don't want to mess these guys up. And then the minute you have the opportunity to kind of slowly build his confidence up and get him in a prominent role, instead you decide to just kind of do baptism by fire and rush him in there. And I said this when they benched him after the Bengals game, I was like, man, that might ruin his confidence, you know? And man, when they put him back in there in that Broncos game, he was done. Like, Bonito was eating his lunch the entire
time.
Man,
I mean, I get it. Simmons is a first-round pick. Kingsley, second-round pick. I mean, it's not a huge difference there. And not only that, Josh Simmons almost went in the second round.
Yeah.
But having said that, had he been healthy, he would have been the first tackle taken. In my mind, he would have been the first tackle taken in the draft. It's just a wait and see. You never know what you're going to have. I just think that there's a certain amount of pressure when you get drafted by the Chiefs in that, you know, you're protecting.
And you play that position.
Yeah,
too.
You're protecting a future Hall of Famer.
Like, you are the left tackle. You know how it is, like quarterback.
Gatekeeper.
You have to be the guy.
You have to be the dude. It's a lot of pressure.
If you fail, like, it's a lot more than being like a cornerback who's taken later that fails. Like, it's like, it is what it is. If you're a safety that fails, it is what it is. Like, you know, well, who's the kid they drafted from Oregon? Jeffrey, I can't remember his last name.
Abasa.
Yeah. Like, if he fails, I mean, it sucks for him, but, like, it is what it is. There's not as much pressure on him as Simmons, who's the left tackle.
Well, it's the number one position the Chiefs needed, and I considered left tackle one of the top four positions of football.
Right.
Quarterback, left tackle,
yeah.
Shutdown corner, and edge rusher. And clearly, this is what the Chiefs have needed. They're fine at center. They're fine at right guard with Trey Smith. Juwan Taylor's a serviceable player. He does well without, you know, outside the penalties and stuff. He's played okay.
I mean, the penalties
But he's a pro.
He's okay. I think he's a very replaceable guy, but yeah, he's decent.
But you have two Pro Bowlers on your offensive line. And not only that, Trey Smith didn't make All-Pro, but he should have. So you would have been two All-Pros. And plus, he's going to be the high-speed guy at his position whenever they end up paying him.
Yeah.
So you're serviceable there. So we all know it's the left side. And so Kingsley's moving the guard now at this point. But there's a lot of pressure, man. You're standing there in practice, and you have the three-time Super Bowl MVP, three-time Super Bowl champion. You're sitting there, and you're looking at all the banners up on the building. I mean, coming to the Chiefs, there's no training wheels, man. It's go time, and everybody knows the Chiefs need a left tackle. That team knows they need him. That's the one really big missing piece they didn't have, and you're that guy, and you're trying to come off an injury. So you're trying to get acclimated to the NFL, and yet also trying to trust your body to do things because maybe not everything is going because you haven't seen live action since the Oregon game. That's a long time ago. And now you're in the National Football League with the team with Super Bowl aspirations.
Right. And it's not like he played a whole bunch of great edge rushers when he played.
Mike Green at Marshall was the only one. They only faced either two snaps.
That's what I'm saying. So like, he didn't, as soon as they saw it, they was like, let's move him to the other side.
Now, he was at the Ohio State that won the national title. That's fine. Yeah. But who did you play in
that's
the meantime?
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, to me, that would be a bit concerning. And that's the reason why, like, I don't want them to rush him in there. Because, like, again, it was very apparent with Sewell Mata'ia last year. That, I mean, even in the Ravens game, it felt like you had solved the problem with duct tape, you know? Yeah. And then, again, when he went up against Trey Hendrickson, man, I mean, he worked him the entire game. I felt so bad for Kingsley. I was like, they put him in a really bad spot in that situation there. So I really
Trey
hope they don't.
Confidence.
Dude.
D-booster.
And I said it after that game. I was like, look, man, confidence, it is a very fleeting thing, especially in a sport like this where you can get replaced so quickly. And I hated the position they put him in. And I hope for Simmons, they don't rush him in there because they want to solve the problem as quickly as
they can. Yeah, it's not
the
thing you want to see with Simmons. You don't want to feel that and just lose your confidence. Like, that's the last thing you want to do. I mean, it's kind of liken it to a prospect that comes up and all of a sudden you don't do so well. And that doubt starts creeping in. Can I do it or whatever? That stuff happens in the NFL, too.
We just saw that with Jack Caglione.
Then all of a sudden you boost your confidence. And, again, no rush for Josh Simmons. Mm-hmm. If he's ready to roll and he's 100% and his body can do everything, so be it. That might be the best pick in the first round if it turns out to be a great left tackle and he's a stud. I mean, it could be. The sky's the limit for this kid. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But the Chiefs took a chance on him. And again, if it works out, that's a coup getting him where the Chiefs drafted him.
Yeah. Like I said, for me, it's just like I want him to earn that spot. I don't want him to be given that spot. Speaking of the aforementioned Kingsley Sewell Mata'ia, he is going to be getting the top chance to be the starting left guard for the Chiefs. And I think there's still some apprehension from a lot of people about what he's going to be able to do there. He says he's feeling really confident in the role. He says like he feels like he fits the role really well. You've heard a lot of good things from the Chiefs talking about it. Andy's talked really well about it. To me, I think that he is going to be someone that's going to be able to acclimate better to that role. Because to me, his issue was always space. It's one of the things you see with a lot of these guys who end up starting out at tackle in the league and then they move inside. The biggest issue they have is dealing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Dealing with space, dealing with guys who can go with speed, beat you on the outside, or they start out with an outside move and then they cut back inside, they spin inside or whatever, or they go speed to power. There's a lot of different nuances to pass rushing, and there's a lot of skills that these guys have now in comparison to back then, where like a lot of guys just had their move and that's what they did. Playing guard, a little bit easier just because of the fact that you're going to generally be facing a lot of the more power move oriented pass rushers. You do got to deal with stunts, and so there's going to be some work there, but I think you're going to see him pull a little bit more, use his athleticism a little bit more. What's your confidence level with Kingsley Suamata moving inside to guard?
Well, it's definitely less pressure than being on the end for Kingsley. He definitely has athletic ability. There's a reason why they drafted him. They even brought him in for a visit. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're not going to take a chance on a guy like that if they don't know what they're doing. I'm sure Andy, being a former BYU guy, talked to tons of people on that staff. Is this guy the right guy? But clearly, the outside, you know, didn't work out for him. He's got the size. We know he's got the speed. He's got the power. There's a lot to like about Kingsley.
Can he put it all together? Too?
But it's less pressure when you're playing guard instead of tackle. But I will say this. There's big shoes to fill. I mean, you're filling in for an all-pro. Not a pro bowler in Joe Tooney, an all-pro. Joe Tooney's one of the best at his craft and what he does. Did it work out 100% at tackle? He's playing out of position. He's got shorter arms playing out of position. I mean, the Super Bowl and the Eagles, you know, brought that into light.
It was a disaster.
But he got him there. Disaster, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the guard, he's great. I mean, guard, he's an all-pro. So he's stepping in the big shoes to fill. You know, so I'm good. Get his confidence back. Get him rolling. You know, he's a serviceable guy. I mean, the worst comes to worst. In a couple years, you're sitting there, and he can swing out the tackle for a game or two and play. Yeah, I mean, he gets that confidence going and whatever. But, again, he's going to be asked to, well, if Simmons starts, he would ask to be next to a rookie. So that's going to be a challenge, too, because you'd have the all-pro in Creed Humphrey, then you'd be dealing on the other side with a rookie. And so there is a certain amount of pressure that comes with that situation. But I'm okay. Again, it's go time. He understands what it is. He's been on this team. He's been to the playoffs. Kingsley's been to the Super Bowl. He knows what to expect.
I feel a lot better about him moving inside. I think that when you take a guy who has the experience that he has and you put him inside, I think he's going to be able to operate better without having to cover so much space as a
which
tackle
I thought
would.
He could handle too. That's why I was surprised.
Yeah, me too. I thought he could because he had the mobility, he had the athleticism to do it. So that was surprising that he kind of struggled to deal with like those
but
speed rush types.
It's easier. So.
It is a lot. And my thing is this: one thing that I think really helps is you got Creed Humphrey to help you out because you got Trey on the other side. I don't think Trey's going to need quite as much help as what you get with him. So Creed's going to be able to help him. I'm sure that that Andy and Andy Reid and Andy Heck are going to come up with some ideas on how to support Kingsley on the inside there. But yeah, I just feel like you got some big shoes to fill there because you're replacing Joe Tooney. But I think he's got the talent to do it.
Sure,
I think he just needs to get a couple of good games where he feels like I can do
and at least
this.
He's made this switch because it's not easy switching positions in the NFL. No. Playing one is tough, and we were here, guards moving from right to left side, how tough that is because it's different leg kick.
Right.
You have to kick with a different leg out. So it's a big transition, but at least he got the experience doing it, at least in practice. And I imagine he did it a lot in practice last year. He ended up starting that Denver, that throwaway game that Chiefs had at guard.
He was pretty good. He looked good to me in that game. I was definitely watching him a lot in that game, and I felt a lot more comfortable with him in that guard role than in the tackle role. I feel like this is a great opportunity for him. They can use his athleticism more, and hopefully this works out for him because if they do solve that issue at left guard and at left tackle, the only things you got to worry about is, presumably you pay Trey Smith before the deadline next month, and then all you got to worry about is right tackle for the future. And you can obviously, if left tackle works out with Josh Simmons, you could swing Jalen Moore over to right. And then let's say he plays well enough to get like a couple years tacked on an extension. That's cool. And then you can kind of kick the can down the road and figure out your right tackle spot a few years from now. So I think there's some good options there with the offensive line. And I think we can kind of see some light at the end of the tunnel there. But definitely it's got to start out with Josh Simmons eventually winning that left tackle spot and with Kingsley Suamataia winning that left guard spot. So this is a great time.
We'll see.
For
it's going to be because, Jalen Moore is going to have something to say about this whole equation.
100%. Oh, yeah.
He's going to have something to say because he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
He understands where they drafted and who they drafted. So it's going to be interesting to see them go ahead. And I do think Trey Smith would be a huge help to Kingsley.
Right, yeah, and that's another thing,
I mean,
too.
That's huge.
Like him
just watching that guy and just learning.
Him and Creed, I think, are going
to
try to help him as much as he can
in practice. So it's not like he's had all year to watch him.
And I'm sure he can pick up some stuff from Caliendo, too, who started for a few games.
Yeah,
very serviceable there at left guard when Tooney moved to the outside. So there's a lot of different options to help him out. But, yeah, I really hope Kingsley does show you something at that guard spot, because if he does, you figured your offensive line issues out, which is your biggest issue last year. Yeah. So turning to the receiving corps, which was one of your biggest issues last year because you had this mountain of injuries piling up there. Right now, I feel like the receiving corps is the strongest it's been probably since 2020. I think 2020 is probably the last time I felt this confident about the receiving room.
Well, I agree. And another reason I feel confident about it is having the same core back, having the same group back. Because I know they've brought in all these different receivers at different times. It's great that Pat can work out with them, done at Camp Pat.
Right.
But that's getting used to their quarterback and the timing. That's important. But it's also important to get used to the whole system. And one thing Andy Reid did talk about in his last end of the season, end of the mini camp press conference is and even Mahomes talked about this too, and his the day before, the same group, they understand. Andy Reid talked about, they know the snap count, they can break the huddle, they just know where to go. And he said there were certain formations that they were able to put in last year later on, but not at first because the crazy formations they run or whatever. And that makes a lot of sense because they know what to expect and they know what to do, even though Hollywood Brown was hurt most of the year and had those 9 catches at the end of the year, and Rice knows what to do. So there's no surprises. So he said they had to hesitate a little bit on some of the packages that they put in with the wide receivers because they hadn't get used to the system. Well, now, same guys. You got Hollywood back, got Xavier back, got Rasheed back. Jalen's going to have to learn, his way. Jalen Royal's the rookie, so it's going to have to be a transition. But then Juju's back and things like that, and they really like Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, Tyquan Thornton's a guy who's got a lot of experience there. I think he was New England, and he was at the Raiders,
He was just New England. Second-round pick in New England. Second-round pick. He's just been coached just a couple years ago. Keep this in mind. The unusual thing about Tyquan is he ran a 4.29, And at the combine, he ran a 4.21, which at that point broke Justin Ross's record. So everybody thought he had the record, but it was the unofficial time. But then they had to go through and they watched the film and all that, and they decided he ran a 4.29.
Yeah.
And for like an hour or two, he thought he had the record. He thought he beat the, but still, 4.29 is just like a 4.21.
Really damn fast.
It's like that. But
it's really damn fast.
Well, saying there's been, you know, questions about his route running and stuff, he's definitely been a vertical threat, and he's a bigger bodied guy. He's a vertical threat, but can you run the route tree? And that's the one thing. But the things that Andy said about him and Pat, but here's the thing. You get past Xavier, who's really learned a lot from his rookie year because there was going to be no pressure coming in here, and Rice and Brown are here, but all of a sudden they're gone, and all of a sudden you got to be the dude.
You got to be the number one guy.
So, yeah. That learns a lot, so I'm expecting big things from Xavier Worthy. And so then you got Rice and Brown, that's three. Jalen Royal's rookies on this team, that's four. And then if you keep Juju because he's been here, that's five. That leaves you two spots where you're looking at Sky Moore, Nico Remigio. You're looking at Elijah Badger. You're looking at Tyquan Thornton. You're looking at essentially five guys or so for two spots.
It's really good problems.
It is, but Elijah Badger.
It sounds like you've changed your mind a little bit on Juju.
Well, no, I just figure he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
But who's going to push him out,
You've
though?
Been anti-Juju for the last few months now.
not wild about it, but maybe they say, you know what, for the returnability and stuff, we need Nico because we're going to be returning a lot more kicks this year. We want that. Or maybe they say, man, Elijah Badger and Tyquan Thornton, really, man, we don't want to get rid of these dudes. We don't want to put on a practice squad. We think these guys can play. So there's that. There's always that equation. I'm not saying he's got a lock, but Juju, in my opinion, is better at this point than Sky Moore.
I mean, I don't think that's a debate.
I mean, it's not a debate. But I mean, I think it does come down, though. I mean, I can see a possibility where Juju's not on the team, but he knows the system. So I can see a possibility where he's not. The chances are he is on it. We're just looking at the receivers they have.
Yeah.
Now, I can see Badger, and which you know well, and see Badger and Tyquan Thornton getting on this team. But if they do, then all of a sudden you're looking, okay, Juju or Nico or Sky Moore, which we've talked about that. So I don't think they're going to happen, but I do think they keep seven receivers. And I do think there's a chance that Elijah Badger or Tyquan Thornton, maybe not both. Is there a chance that one of them makes this team? Yeah.
I do think there's a chance they keep seven. Here's what I'll say. I think everybody you name as the top five, I think they're going to make the team. I think Juju's going to be on the team because the Chiefs value that veteran presence there.
And they know him.
And you know, you saw what happened last year. Like, he was someone that was valuable late in the season because of his experience. But they got some good problems right now as far as the final one or two spots.
Do I think he deserves more playing time than Jalen Royals?
No.
I want to see what
absolutely
happens.
Not. I don't want to see Juju more than Jalen Royal.
Me
I don't.
I want to see Jalen Royal as well.
I want him to be their fourth receiver.
Not necessarily this order, but Worthy, Rice, Brown, Royals. I think that's my top four.
Mine's if
it should be your top four.
Mine's is Rice, then Hollywood, then Worthy, then Royals. And the reason why I went that route and I have Worthy three is because one, I mean, obviously Rashi's the best wide receiver they got. After him, Hollywood, I think, is more refined than Worthy. Now, if Worthy ends up being better than Hollywood just because he's better,
yeah,
that's good. That's awesome.
I'll say this much about Worthy. He's hungry, man. I'm not going by workout videos and things that, but I do like his catchability, man. The one-hand catches he's making.
He can make plays.
But time and space in learning where he is on the sideline, like, it's got better, man. And again, there wasn't a ton of pressure on him because Rice is there in Brown. Right. Then all of a sudden when they're out, you're the freaking dude, man.
Yeah.
And not only that, he did step up. He stepped up for this team. Not only that, he was a leading receiver on this team in catches and yards in the postseason. Forget about what he put up huge numbers in the Super Bowl. But, of course, people would say, well, it was garbage time. But it didn't matter. Even before they got to the Super Bowl, he led the team that went to the Super Bowl in yards.
In the AFC Championship game, he tore up the Bills' defense.
So I'm expecting him to just keep getting better and better. So would I be shocked if Worthy went up there and all of a sudden he's your second best dude? Wouldn't be shocked at all.
Well, I wouldn't either, and I think that'd be great. And then, you know, after him, Jalen Royals. I'm going to tell you this, and this might be a little hot take-ish. I was thinking about this earlier. I'm a little bit more excited about Jalen Royals than I was Xavier last year.
Wow.
I was really excited about Xavier.
I know you were.
But my thing with Royals is like what Royals brings to your offense that has an Xavier Worthy, a Hollywood, and a Rashi Rice and a Travis Kelce's. We forget about Kelce because I think Kelce's basically going to be a de facto wide receiver this year. I don't think he's going to pass block very much at all this year, or I mean run block it very much at all this year. I think he's just almost exclusively going to be a slot.
He's got a pretty full tight end room when they bring in Brennan Stoll from Clemson. I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah, and I'll talk about him
and
a little bit.
It sounds like Wiley's going to be better too.
Yeah, so. I really like
Noah Gray.
This
he's really
with,
good
with so. Royals because here's the thing about Royals, man. He's a guy that has the same level of explosiveness that Worthy has. You look at that 10-yard split. It's the same number that Worthy's 10-yard split was, and it's in a bigger body.
He's explosive, and he can return.
He can return. So like, immediately you're talking about a guy who can be – he's your fourth wide receiver. He can be in really de facto fifth if we count Kelce. And he is immediately your – he's a guy you can have return kicks, and – in your offense, he has nobody. Like, remember we was talking about Juju last year, nobody's covering him. You got Hollywood, you got Rashi, you got X, you got Kelce. Who's covering Jalen Royals?
Yeah.
Nobody. He's gonna get the second nickel back.
Very good yards after catch. They love that man because Rice is really good at yards after catch.
He's gonna get a safety covering him. Yeah. That is gonna be a problem. When he gets out there.
Expect Royals to be a lot like Worthy. It's getting better and better and better as the season progresses.
But because of his size, too, because he's, 6 foot 205, he's going to be someone that, like, because we know, like, Rashi, his big thing is his abilities after the catch.
Yeah.
He can improvise his routes. He can adjust his routes based on coverage. He catches, and then he's very tough to bring down. Jalen Royals is the same size, and you watch him play, and when he picks up speed, you're not tackling him.
Yeah.
And he can go. He's got that Xavier Worthy burst. So he's a guy that's more dangerous after the catch than Rashi, but has similar size and a similar play style as far as how he is after the catch. I mean, he's a guy that we could see some home run type plays where he catches it short and he just goes down the field because no one can tackle him and he's faster than everyone. So, yeah, I'm a little bit more excited about him than Worthy just because, like, with Worthy, I think his thing is what he's going to do down the field in the deep passing game. But with Royals, he can go deep, but he can also go short and be very difficult to tackle after the catch. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's able to have maybe two or three home run plays where he just catches it short and just takes it down the field because you can't tackle him.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I'm a little bit more excited about Jalen Royals, even though I'm a bigger fan overall of Worthy than I am of Jalen Royals. And I think Worthy has a higher ceiling than Royals does. But like, man, Royals gives me Sammy Watkins vibes. And that really excites me, man.
It's high praise.
It really excites me. I think he's got a lot of potential there. And he's got it significantly less pressure than Rashi had and X has had because he's got really good receivers ahead of him on the depth chart. Yeah. So you did bring up Jake Brennan-Stuhl, the tight end out of Clemson.
Been banged up a little bit through the minicamp.
Man, yeah.
I think he missed a few days, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did miss a few days. But this is a kid that we were hearing a lot about in the rookie minicamp and at like OTAs. Brennan-Stuhl's he's probably the closest thing that they have to a Kelce type, I think, aside from Wiley, as far as his athleticism goes. He's someone I think has a lot of potential to be a very, very good receiving tight end.
I'm just curious to see what he does. And, you know, if it didn't work out and he gets put on the practice squad and develops and sits there behind Kelce and Noah Gray and kind of learns the trade. Better for him. Tough kid, though.
I wouldn't be shocked if he beat out Wiley for a roster spot at camp. Like, I wouldn't be shocked. Brennan-Stuhl's a guy that we heard a lot as far as, like, him being a potential mid-round pick, fourth, fifth round tight end there. He ended up being undrafted. I was surprised he went undrafted. And when the Chiefs got him, I was like, I 100% get it because that's their kind of tight end there. So I think this is a good lottery ticket right here in Brennan-Stuhl because he is that of the Kelce type as far as his athleticism goes and his abilities after the catch. Obviously, we got to see him develop the route tree, develop the skills, but at least from what you see on tape when he was at Clemson, he definitely has the talent to be a very good tight end in the league. So moving on to the running back situation for the Chiefs, this one was one that we talked about extensively in the lead up to the draft. We were hoping the Chiefs were going to address it on day two, They did not. They waited all the way until the seventh round, all the way until after we finished our draft coverage.
Had to make a trade with the Patriots just to make sure you were in the seventh round.
Yeah, they traded up. They moved their final two picks of the seventh round to trade up with the Patriots, and they took Breshard Smith, the running back, converted wide receiver to running back out of SMU, formerly of Miami. Are you feeling any confident about the running back room situation?
I do. One thing about Breshard is not much mileage as far as taking hits.
One year. So 1 year as a running back.
The other thing, too, is he's got good hands. I mean, he was a wide receiver at Miami. I can just picture now the wheel route. I can see the running back around the wheel route a lot. Pass protection, all these things have to be better. You're a former wide receiver and stuff. You're going to have to deal with that. Now, Kareem Hunt. I think Kareem Hunt is going to be a lot in that Pirine role. Last year, you saw. I think Samaje Perine is extremely valuable for this team. Not only in pass protection,
he was one of their best free agent signings.
But Samaje Perine, I can see Kareem Hunt doing a lot of that, maybe and being better. Not only that, I think Kareem Hunt could be here if you had to. In such a way, he could be your every damn back. If you said we need 20 carries from you, I'm not going to say he could do that all season long. But if there was a stretch of Pacheco gets hurt or something like that, and you're saying Kareem, we need you to be RB1 for two or three games. I bet he could do it. I mean, he's a good guy there. Elijah Mitchell, I'm curious about. With all the injuries and everything, we know the speed. He ran a 4.32 at his pro day. We know he's got that. And we know he can catch it. We know that Elijah Mitchell can do a lot of things. So that's going to be the surprise, the X factor. Like, how good can he be? Because he will be fighting for playing time with this team. Because obviously, Breshard's going to make this team. He's going to get his. Kareem Hunt's getting his. He's a trusted guy. He's former leading rusher in the NFL. He'll get his. And Isaiah Pacheco will get his snaps as well. So then all of a sudden you're looking to be in the fourth running back. And we know what happens to fourth running backs a lot. They're not active on game days. So obviously you are with the injuries and everything else. And then there's a situation, what they're going to do with Carson Steele. Because Carson Steele, as we know, can be an H-back or a fullback. In college at Ball State, he did lead the MAC in rushing from the halfback role. They tried it in both directions with the Chiefs last year. And he kind of moved out of that circle of trust to some extent with the fumbles. But Andy Reid has also gone through a season and not had a fullback. Burton was here and stuff like that, and he went a season without it. So if he says, okay, you're the fullback, unidentifiable, you are the fullback, can he make a roster spot as that? Yes. If he does, then all of a sudden that really kind of, all right, what are you doing with Elijah Mitchell? Is he on this team still or what? So I think it can be interesting. Pacheco, I think he was hampered by injuries when he came back, to be honest with you. It wasn't the same guy. Not only that, Kareem Hunt became the more trusted guy. Because you'd see when you get close to halftime and then the second half, it was Kareem Hunt getting the big snaps. It was getting him third and one. It was him fourth and one. It was him by the goal line. It wasn't Pacheco. It was Pacheco between the 20s.
Yeah, I do think – and it might not have been injuries. It might have been a mental thing where he just didn't quite trust himself after he came back from the injury, because – I know that that's actually a big issue with a lot of guys who like tear their ACL or tear their meniscus. It's really hard for them to trust that knee, even when they have done all the physical therapy and all the workouts to help recover.
Well, they ran the ball 23% on first down, so they like to get off a good start. But unfortunately, they just weren't able to get those yards on first down. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're being pinned back on first down.
Second down. And so I think – I'm interested to see what Pacheco does in a contract year. As the late, great Therese Paley used to say, the contract year is undefeated.
It is.
And so I'm really interested to see what Pacheco does this year. I'd like to see them de-emphasize Kareem Hunt a little bit on the early downs. Late downs, I'm cool with. I think he's easily their best running back in terms of short yardage situations, goal line situations.
Sit back there and block. He can catch. Yeah. Again, smudge your P-grind.
But I would like to see them de-emphasize him just because he wasn't quite as efficient last year as he had been before, because he was a 29-year-old running back and he couldn't do the same things he was doing in his first stint with the Chiefs or even early on in his time with the Browns. So for me, I would like to see them give Elijah Mitchell a little bit more of an opportunity, give Breshard Smith a little bit more of an opportunity. I think Breshard's – I'll say this. Don't sleep on Breshard Smith potentially being their starting running back in 26, because I think they look at him as a
– This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A project to be a potential starting running back with his skill set?
Young, fresh legs.
He doesn't have a lot of mileage on him as a running back because he's a converted wide receiver.
He's still learning.
One year.
Damn good year, and he's still learning.
Yeah, and you look at him, it's like, if he can improve his ability to run between the tackles, which the Chiefs love to do, you're talking about a guy. I mean, you basically got a steal in the seventh round again. So
great in space, though.
Right, he is excellent in space.
I'm looking forward to wheel routes.
He's a great receiver. This is a guy you can line him up in the backfield. You can motion him out, and he can basically be another receiver.
Make a difference, because if it's Simmons out there and Jalen Moore, and they don't have 100% trust in him,
yeah.
You got to put a backpack there to block
right.
for Mahomes.
And that's the reason why it might end up being a situation where you see a Kareem Hunt more on the later downs, because he's more proven at being a pass blocker. So I do think there are going to be some interesting things. I think I like Carson Steele. I don't think he's going to be on the team. I don't think they're going to create a fullback spot for
incredible
him.
Talent. Like I said, the only way I could see him
is if they keep a fullback.
He did a lot of special teams. He did do a lot of that, and he's been with his team. But if they identify and said, no, we want a pure and identifiable fullback. That's your role. That's what you're doing. That just really starts creating some things for Elijah Mitchell there and stuff.
Right. And also, the reason why I don't think they keep him is, if they do end up keeping seven receivers, I mean, you're not keeping five running backs, basically. No.
Even on game days, you got to wonder who's going to be inactive.
I'm not even sure they keep four running backs, to be honest. It might be a situation where Breshard Smith and Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt are battling it out.
Because if there's injuries, they'll just elevate the two from the practice squad or one from the practice squad, right. And they'll do that, or, that's what they'll do. They'll stockpile a lot of running backs on the practice squad.
Right. So I think there's a chance it could be three running backs and then one guy's on the practice squad. One guy's an odd man out. So there's a lot of interesting aspects of that. I think there's going to be a lot of juggling around between the receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Because, like, how many tight ends are they going to keep? We just talked about Jake Brennan's stool, but, I mean, you got Kelce, you got Noah Gray, and then is Jared Wiley and Jake Brennan's stool. I mean, which one of those do they keep? Maybe they keep Wiley because he's been on the team longer, and you stash Brennan. Maybe they do the thing they used to do with what's his name? Aaron Murray.
And if they're good blockers, that's your H-back.
He goes on IR for a year.
Well, you use that tight end as a fullback. Yeah. As an H-back. So we'll see how they're blocking.
There's so many different things that they can do in that situation there. But I think the running back situation, it feels a lot better than it has felt in a while there.
Yeah.
I think Pacheco's going to be very motivated this year. I would have liked for them to have gotten one of the higher rated running backs in the draft. But, you know, I am intrigued by what we see from Bishart, and it definitely seems like him and Mahomes are starting to build up chemistry. On the opposite side of the ball, you have the defensive line. And one of the things that we have seen in OTAs and camp and whatnot has been the addition of the young guys, Omar Norman-Lott, Ashton Gelati. You've heard some good things from Spags about those guys and their addition to the front four there. Obviously, Chris Jones is you know, he's in his 30s now. You know, we don't know how much longer he's got playing there. So it's very imperative that they maximize whatever time he has left.
Yeah.
And Carl Loftus he's got some motivation here going into year four.
He's got some big time money.
He's trying to get paid.
He's working with Tamba. Hopefully, Gelati's working with him too, because obviously there's that connection with Carl Loftus and Gelati.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Carl Loftus has got him up on game that went on from that. Purdue to Louisville. Jeff Brom, same guy, same coach. So they both have him. I know the Chiefs want to get up the quarterback. I mean, everybody wants to get up the quarterback. Right. Chiefs, they slipped. They were number two in the NFL in sacks for two straight years. Those are the years they won Super Bowls. They lost the Super Bowl when they slipped back to 18th in the league in sacks. So I know that that's obviously a priority, because all these guys. You look at the pass rush win rate that Norman-Lott had, better than anybody.
Yeah, it was almost 20%
times he played.
Yeah.
And then nobody put as much quarterback pressures than Ashton Gelati in college football. So, and again, we talked Noah Williams, the cornerback, more interceptions than anybody. So the Chiefs, they tended to draft guys that performed the best of the best in college football.
They did. And they valued versatility.
It's very analytical what they did too.
Yeah.
So you can say analytics. The Chiefs used a lot of analytics through this draft.
And I'm really excited about the potential for this front line, because you just brought up Norman-Lott's pass rush win rate. He was incredible at getting to the quarterback. As a defensive tackle, he was up there with some of the best edge rushers as far as pressure rate, win rate. I mean, I think that if he can get one-on-ones against guards every time he goes after the quarterback, he's going to be a major problem for the opposing quarterback. Because, man, if you have somebody that can get pressure on the interior, that's more effective than getting it off the edge, because there's not a whole lot of room there for the quarterback to move around.
And Gelati's the guy that moves around a lot.
He's got interior pressure. And Gelati moves around a lot.
Maybe I'll just start a little bit for the interior, but he's done it.
I'm really excited about what we could see from him in the run game, because he was an incredible run defender when he was at Louisville. Like, especially outside zone. Yeah. Oh, my God. He ruined outside zone when he was there.
He's a talented kid, man. I just can't wait to see him going, and I want to see if George Karloftis can, because, again, we brought on Jeff Brom when he was first drafted when he came out of Purdue, and it's been getting better and better, but that motor. And, you know, you say, well, he doesn't have the big-time sacks numbers yet. You know, he's hovers around 10 or whatever. He hadn't got to the 17, 18. Something like that. Could he? Yeah, he's got that kind of potential. He's that good. Yeah. It took Trey Hendrickson a little while. I'm not saying he's Trey Hendrickson. I'm going to say it took him a while to get going.
Trey Hendrickson didn't really break out, I think, until his last year with the Saints. Yeah. And then he goes to the Bengals, and he just took off after that.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I do think that it could very well be a Hendrickson-like trajectory for him. And that would be really exciting, because then you're talking about a guy who improves. You look at Hendrickson now, he led the league in sacks last year.
No more sacks than anybody in the last 2 years.
Yep,
Last 2 years, I think money, and they won't pay him because they paid Pickens all that money.
Yeah, I think it was 17 and a half each last year.
And they
get
rid of Jermaine Pratt, which was top 10 in the NFL in sacks or tackles last year.
Ridiculous. But yeah, like that's the thing I want to see from Carl Loftus there. But I'm really excited about Gelati being added in because, you know, again, great run defender on coming off the edge there. But also, he can move on the inside as well. I'm going to be really interested to see what happens when they kind of do their rotations on third down. And there's probably going to be some times where they move him inside and they have Charles Omenihu rush off the edge. Or maybe they flip that and they have what I think would be really interesting is Carl Loftus and Gelati on the inside, Chris Jones and Omenihu on the outside. Or maybe you put Omenihu on the inside and you put Carl Loftus on the outside. There's going to be so many that NASCAR package on third down is going to be really fun to watch. So I'm really excited about that. Obviously, Norman Lott was my guy, so
I think I mocked him too in a mock. I think when you and I did our mocks, did most times.
You didn't mock him. You didn't mock. I thought I did.
I think I did one of them.
I think you might have did one.
So we both liked him.
Yeah, we both liked him. We both talked about him a lot. So yeah. And then finally, the secondary. I think, based on what we've heard from OTAs and minicamp, based on what we talked about as far as like how they addressed it in the offseason, I'm more confident about the secondary this year than I was last year. And going into really the last 2 seasons, even though the 23 secondary was amazing and they absolutely dominated the league, I feel a lot more comfortable about them this year than I had the last 2 years.
I agree with you. I love bringing in Fulton. I like bringing that experience at the secondary.
Yeah, I was
love
a big
that.
Christian Fulton fan coming
we
out
love
of LSU.
Jaden Hicks. I mean, I don't think you're going to miss Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jaden Hicks is the dude.
Yeah.
He led this team in interceptions, I do believe, last year.
I think he was tied for the lead for interceptions.
Jaden Hicks can play. We know that safety. And Noah Williams was my favorite pick in this year's draft class.
Yeah.
And led the nation in interceptions at Cal. Stud, man. And not only that, you know, you see some of these draft previews, and, well, is he good against the run, all that? We brought his head coach on and said, no, dude can get after
it.
That's
watch,
from his coach. He can get after the run. And not only that, he picked off Cam Ward.
Yeah, if you watch his film when he was at Washington State, he was a problem. Like, you watch Jaden Hicks' film. Oh, you're talking about Noah Williams.
Noah Williams.
You're talking about Noah Williams. Jaden Hicks, like, he was, he could play against the run. He is very, you know, as you brought up, he was one of, if not the leader of the team on interceptions. I think he might have been tied for the lead in interceptions.
He's a thumper, man.
He is, and I said this when they drafted him. I was like, this is Justin Reed. Like, this is literally Justin Reed or Tyrann Mathieu, both similar archetypes of safety. Guys who can play deep, guys who could play in that middle area there.
Connor was second.
You said he led the team. Okay, yeah.
He's back too. So.
Yeah, he's back. And then also they brought in Mike Edwards too. So I'm actually really excited about Mike Edwards there because Mike Edwards was a very good third safety for the team.
They're good, and the secondary will be good. And I mean, I can't wait. Noah Williams is the only guys I want to go see. He's not a pass. He didn't put up big sack numbers. Obviously, that's not his deal.
But he can.
Yeah. He can get to the quarterback because he's good against playing up on the line. Like he's good for playing the line.
Yeah, and that's the thing I really like about what the secondary can be. Is like one of the things you saw in OTAs, I mean, not OTAs, but mandatory last week, was like they got a lot of coverage sacks because of their ability to play downfield, their ability to stay in coverage for a long period of time. You know, Mahomes loves to hold on to the football for a long time if he can. So I was really excited to see that part of the game. And Christian Fulton being added in is really, really great. You know, we brought up the contract year with Isaiah Pacheco, Jalen Watson, also in a contract year. Joshua Williams, also in a contract year. So those two guys, I think, are going to be very motivated to go out there and play. And so Noah Williams, I think he's going to compete for time for sure. I think ideally you would like to see him be someone that gets rotated in on the outside and is able to play in coverage on the outside there. Maybe he doesn't get regular time this year because you got Jalen Watson, Christian Fulton, but it'd be nice if you could work him into the rotation there at some point. Maybe he plays some slot and you're able to have him on the inside in your dime package. And that way you can kind of have him and you can have Trent McDuffie playing on the inside there on those crucial downs. And that'd be really nice.
Perfect spot for McDuffie. Anyway, this guy's learned from these rookies. I think it's great, and it shows the trust that Andy Reid has with the draft class when he says, no, we can go put them with the regulars.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need them there 3 days early or whatever. That kind of speaks volumes.
I just think that there's a lot of versatility with what they could do in their secondary. And let's not forget about Nazi Johnson. Maybe Nazi Johnson gets some more time at safety. He was a safety when
Pacheco,
he got brought in.
Josh Williams, Jalen Watson class.
Yeah, so it's like
great class 22.
I'm kind of hoping he doesn't play that much outside corner. I hope he gets more time playing on the playing at safety. You know, maybe he kind of rotates in there with Shamari and whatnot, or maybe rotates with the as a third safety. You know, I'd like that too. I'm not a big fan of him playing purely on the outside, though, just because I think he got exploited too much after Jalen Watson got hurt last year. But I do think that it's nice that he's probably, what, your fourth corner right now? Fourth or fifth corner? He's a good fourth or fifth corner to have.
Yes, he is.
So I there's a lot of good things. I really feel like the defense has a chance to go and have a 23-like season, which if they have a 23-like season – and we see the offense start to get back to what they were before they lost Tyreek. And we see this receiving core kind of play out the way that we hoped.
Good quarterbacks in this division. Even Geno.
I mean, you're talking about a Chiefs team that could be back in the Super Bowl for the fourth straight year, which would be the first time we've seen a team go to four straight Super Bowls since the Bills did it in the early 90s.
We're the first one ever to have a chance to win three in a row because they went back to back and then three. We've seen teams get to that point, but never to win three in a row.
Right. And it would be the first, I think it would be the first time in league history we've seen a team go to four straight Super Bowls and win three Super Bowls, three of those four. So
then we see the Panthers go to the third straight Stanley Cup. That's Chiefs on ice, by the way.
Right. Yeah. No, like I said, I think there's a lot of great things that could come out of this season. I think the training camp is going to be kind of a way for them to prove the potential and talent that we see in them. I feel a lot better about this team right now than I did a year ago.
Same.
And I, you know, there was a lot of uneasiness about the receiving core, about the offensive line. I'm feeling a lot less uneasy about both of those situations. So I'm feeling pretty good, and you guys should feel good about that too, because I think this Chiefs team has definitely done a good job at how they handled the free agency class and how they handled the draft. So I'm very excited about it. I know you're excited about it, Bink, and we're excited to get back on things here with Character Concerns
another
podcast.
Season, man. What's
another
this year
season
three?
Here. Yeah, this will be our third college football season.
I know we did Kansas City draft. We did the one in Detroit, one in Green Bay. That's three. And this will be
our fourth draft that we cover. But this will be our third college football season that we're on.
It's crazy.
So we're going to, like I said, we're going to start previewing the college football players to watch out for. I'm putting together my watch list right now. And when we get back to the season, we are going to really be able to start pointing out who you should be looking out for. What are the problem positions that the Chiefs are going to have in the future and how they can address those positions? Obviously, we'll keep you up on these quarterbacks. I think this quarterback class this year for the 26th draft is going to be really interesting.
It's going to be more fun to talk about.
I think a lot of people have some I think a lot of people are assuming a lot of things about Arch Manning. And I don't really think that's
Sellers and Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, there's Nussmeier, there's Allers, there's so
Kate
many.
Klubnik.
Yeah, there's Klubnik. There's so many interesting players not named Arch Manning at the quarterback position for this class. Let's not go out here and just assume Arch Manning, who couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers for that quarterback job, is just going to be the top quarterback in next year's class. So he might not even go into the draft in 26. He might get enough money in NIL to stay another year at Texas or go elsewhere, which I think he would probably stay, and play another year and work on his craft if he feels like he needs to. So let's not assume some things. There's going to be a lot of interesting players to talk about here on the road to the 2026 NFL draft. We appreciate you guys being with us. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.